A seat, and we will jump into God's word. Hey, good morning and Merry Christmas to you all. I know you're like, it's not Christmas yet. I love just saying it, getting in. I love the lights, the Christmas trees, and just getting into the season. So, Merry Christmas. One person, thank you. Thank you. Hey, so as we get into it, we're going to look back a little at the Christmas season and look at a story that could be maybe very familiar. Whether you've grown up in church your whole life or you're just joining and you're a guest here and just seeking things out, we're glad you're here. We want to explore, and wherever, whether you grew up in church or you've been just kind of in culture, you've heard the story of the Christmas scene. And maybe some of us have grown numb to it because every Christmas season, same story, and it can feel like it can become boring or dull. And as I was thinking about this, I was texting back and forth with my family, and early in the first service, I said I was texting online, and I was like, man, that sounds creepy, right? Doesn't it? I was texting on my phone, and my family were going back and forth, and we were talking about our childhood home that we all grew up in, and it went up for sale recently and was on the market. And so, you know, when you can check on these things online, you get to see all the inside, and so we were snooping through and just reminiscing, and looking at the fireplace, I almost got a little sad, and I wanted to show you this picture. And it just the empty house, the house was completely taken away, and I see this, just this sad picture of this fireplace. But it was so different than the memories I had. I see right there the burn mark you see at the top of the fireplace. I remember one time my dad and I forgot to open up the vent or the flue right above it, and it's just smoke filling the whole house, and flames are coming up, and so that charred spot kind of reminds me. But my mom always did such a great job decorating it. Stockings hanging, there was lights and garland, and we would always, old-fashioned fires, not the gas fires, I mean, just fill up, and there was warm, and as kids, we would bring our sleeping bags where the carpet's kind of there and now dirty, and it was a warm, warm setting. And it made me just think about Christmas season can be like a cold fireplace if we forget about Jesus. Jesus, if you will, is like the warm fire, the stockings, the warmth, the family coming around, because you can get stuck in the tradition and it can just be a fireplace. It can just be tradition. But as cliche as it often is, Jesus is the reason for the season. Yeah, I think it's even more than that. Jesus is kind of the light, the fire. And so I'm hoping we could restore and go back to that fire and hear some of the beautiful stories with some fresh eyes in this. So if you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. And if you don't have a Bible, we've got our big blues in the pews, and you could grab one of those. If you don't have one, take that home. That's our gift to you. And we'll throw it up on the screen for you as well. So Matthew chapter 1. And to give a little background, Matthew was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. So this Matthew guy that we're talking about, he was one of Jesus' 12, and he's telling about how Jesus was born, and he gives this lineage, this genealogy, which we'll do, that's a whole nother sermon. Great stuff. We're not just skipping it because it's just a bunch of names. That's a wonderful sermon one day. We'll come back to it. We're going to pick up verse 18, but Matthew is writing to a group of Jews that understood they were looking for the promised king, the promised one to come. And so he's writing this, join me in verse 18. It says this, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah is the one to come, the one the Jews were looking for. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together," and that come together is an intimate come together. I won't go in more detail on that, you get it. "She was found to be pregnant." So before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Uh-oh. "Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace." So what does that mean? He was faithful. So Joseph and Mary were not intimate together. And all of a sudden, Mary's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. I mean, imagine Joseph. The who? What do you mean the Holy Spirit? Sure, whatever. And I mean, imagine the anger that he goes through and then goes in. The story continues. It says, "Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law," and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, she would have been stoned or could have faced just severe punishment for committing adultery, for sleeping with somebody else, because the engagement process, she's already committed to Joseph. So he didn't want to commit her to public disgrace, and he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate the marriage. He didn't finalize the marriage being intimate with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So there it is. There's the story. Now, what I want us to see, Jesus is always the main character, if you will. Jesus lived a real person, a historical figure that we follow, and so when we say character, we have to see every time we look at the text is about Jesus. The text is sharing. Matthew was saying all of this Old Testament all points forward to Jesus. And so he's showing that, he's displaying that. So as we see that, but I don't want us to miss the fact that Joseph plays a key role in this here. And as Joseph's here, Joseph does some very important things. I mean, enter into Joseph's life here. So he finds news. Mary tells him, "She's pregnant. I'm pregnant. Not by anyone else, but the Holy Spirit." I mean, imagine that. He's probably like, "Man, I've heard some tales, but this one, that's a new one. Sure, Mary, I'm out." But notice the way he treats her, the way he values Mary. I think this text is so relevant today. I mean, think about what's been coming up in the news a lot lately, the value of women. We're hearing stories of public figures that have treated women like objects. And it's not new. This has happened throughout our history. But it is so important, the value that Joseph has. Joseph did not disgrace her. He could have put her on blast. "Hey, yeah, I know I was supposed to be committed to her. Now it's awkward. Why am I backing out?" What does Joseph do? He chooses the path of honor and goes quietly so she would not be disgraced. He didn't run her name, drag her name through the mud. He valued her. Why? Because he saw the worth in her. It says this line that he was a good follower of the law. And a good follower of God sees the value in people, because from the very beginning of God's word, we know that every single person is created in the image of God. And so as we see this, if you're taking notes, the way you honor God, and the reason we come to church is to honor God, but the way you honor God is by honoring people. Men, women, honoring, showing value to people, because people matter to God and they matter to us. Jesus is what we preach during the season. That's what we are going to continue to preach. In our heart, our passion, the way we love other people, we show honor to people. People are who we care about. We value people because God values people. I was thinking this illustration, kind of just a normal one, but the classic tale, right? The glass is what? Half full. Where's my half empty ones? Come on, where's that? There we go. All right. That was me as a kid. It's half empty. But I was thinking about, as we are to show, and this isn't groundbreaking illustration, but I just think it's a helpful visual. As we look at people, we often can devalue them. We can see a person and just, well, they're half empty. They have this characteristic or this trait that drives me nuts. And we tend to get irked and bugged by people, and we just see them, they haven't reached their full potential. And we see people as half empty. And well, yeah, look at all that space. Look how they could be. And so we don't end up treating people with honor the way we should. We don't love people the way we should. We don't respect them the way we should. Yet what God says to honor me, the way you honor me is by honoring people. Do you know in 1 Samuel, God says, if you honor me, I will honor you. There's a blessing that God gives back when you honor him. And the way you honor him, throughout the scriptures, Jesus says, if you love others, you're loving me. If you give a cup of cold water in my name, it's as if you are doing that for me. So if you're taking care of the poor, Jesus says, you're taking care of me. Now, what if instead of looking at people and saying, well, you're half empty, or even just half full, but what if we saw the potential in people? What if we began to pour into them, honor them, and love them, and say, you know what, I see you have a lot of potential. It's dripping a little bit. Life is messy, preach. But what if we would pour into people's lives and just see the potential they have and maximize it? And what if life is messy? What if we poured so much so that it just starts overflowing? Mark's yelling at me for messing up the stage here, but that's all right. Sorry, Mark. What if our lives would, if we would just pour into people where our lives would overflow into their lives and we could even water some poinsettias and in the meantime, let the blessing just rain all over, allow them to flourish and grow. I mean, imagine that. What would it look like? Sometimes we're stingy with our honor and we don't bless people because we're so worried about, see, look at this, let it rain, come on. I'm gonna set this down before I water the whole stage here. Wet hands. Sorry, people listening are online are like, what is going on? Gotta come to church, gotta come to church. So what if though we would value people, pour into them, honor them, and see just what could begin to happen, the blessings that begin to overflow when that happens. So here's the step. It's not always easy. So I want us to look at Joseph again. So first point, honor God by honoring people. Second point, choose honor even when wronged. Choose honor even when wronged. Notice Joseph, what he does here. He finds out news that Mary is pregnant. Now, we know the story. We're kind of the outside, the omniscient view in the text, and we get to see that she is giving birth and she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and that we see she's not giving birth by the Holy Spirit. Anyway, you know what I mean. But what's going on here is that David doesn't know that at the time. So he finds out. Imagine this. Enter into his shoes. Have you been, and maybe it's a business deal, where somebody cheated you. They were in a contract. Joseph said, I'm pledging to be married to you, and Mary pledged to be married to him. It was done. It's a little different than our day and age until the final vows are exchanged, but they had already committed. And so they're committed to each other, and all of a sudden, she's pregnant. And she's saying, well, it's the Holy Spirit. Imagine Joseph, I don't care what that guy's name is. I wasn't a part of that. See ya. I mean, we don't know what it looked like. I mean, Joseph didn't have Maury Povich, you know, to figure out who the kid is. But I mean, imagine chairs were thrown, poinsettias, if they were around, probably thrown across the room. He didn't physically assault Mary. But I mean, imagine just the anger in Joseph's life. Have you been cheated recently? Maybe God's calling you to stay in a blessing, to bless somebody even when you've been wronged. Imagine if Joseph actually did, even though Joseph chose the path of honor, the angel of the Lord comes to Joseph and says, I want you to stay, and I want you to bless somebody. I want you to bless and see a blessing go through even beyond your way of honor. I want you to choose an higher path of honor. What if you're running away from a blessing in somebody's life, there's conflict in your life, and then you're running away when God wants you to bless them? God can do a miracle through you just like he did a miracle through Joseph and Mary. Now, let me say this caveat. If you are in an abusive relationship, this is not for you. Go. Do not stay in an abusive relationship. You don't need to keep bringing that blessing. You can find help, and we can find other ways to take care of that. Do not stay. Or if there's drug addiction involved, Do not try to stay and fight that. When there's help and resources, sometimes you need other resources and help to help that person get them out. And then the third kind of caveat, if you're helping somebody and maybe they're struggling with a sin, there's something in your life and you find yourself being tempted in that area, have somebody else help them. That's not for you. Because what the Bible says, it describes you, otherwise you will get sucked in. If you find that someone's being tempted with the same thing you are, you're gonna get sucked in too. So you need to be removed from that. But I'm talking about the other situations where maybe somebody just said, they maybe didn't invite you to a party, or maybe they snubbed you in the office, or maybe at school they just kind of left you hanging. Whatever it is for you, maybe you've been trying to run from them, but God wants to use you to bring a blessing in their life. Do you know, someone approached me and asked if I could share this after the first service. He said, my best friend and I were doing a business deal. And he's coming up and he's just sharing. He says, I'm in the process of suing him for a few $1,000. But he said, you know what? No matter how much money, that $1,000, it's not worth our friendship. So he's just right there. He says, I'm dropping it. Because no value, no amount of money is worth the friendship and the love that we have for each other. And so that's what he just said. I so what if I'm wronged a few $1,000? What's more important is to love this person. I was like, come on. I was like, you get up here and preach for me. I love that. What would our lives look like if we, maybe there's people in our lives that God wants us to bless them, to love them, and to give them grace even when they don't deserve it. Imagine Joseph. Joseph didn't get instant gratification, instant resolution to his problem. Jesus' ministry doesn't go public for about 30 years after his birth. So imagine for 30 years, especially we might not always understand the shame and guilt that was associated with the culture necessarily, but I mean, imagine a culture that highly values marriage, which we should, as God created it, and because God shows his covenant through there, his commitment through marriage, and saying, I commit to my people. I don't back away from my people. And so that's why I want you to carry that out in marriage. So they're in this relationship, this covenant that shouldn't be broken. And by the way, there's grace. Many of us have been part of just broken marriages. This is a place of grace and healing. And so there's no shame in that. And that's where the cross brings freedom. And we'll get to that in a moment. But I do want to say, imagine Joseph for 30 years. 30 years where a lot of people were either saying one of two things. Either, oh, you weren't a good Jew. You didn't keep the law. You slept with Mary beforehand. Or, well, you don't even know if that's your baby. Probably didn't say it that way. But you're not the baby daddy, right? So they're not saying that. But there was probably this look, this guilt. Jesus didn't fully proclaim himself to be God and display a lot of his miracles and glory till he's 30. So for 30 years, Joseph, his honor, his shame, he's bearing kind of this load of shame. But why? So a blessing could happen. So God could work a miracle through Mary and Joseph so the rest of the world could be saved. Let's look at a third point I want us to look at. Last week, I felt like this was so connected to last week, that we would get good at giving. Get good at giving honor. Last week, we talked about generosity and how do we be generous with others during this season and the rest of our lives. It's so important to realize that generosity, you have to almost create a safe place where there's honor and love, and you have to realize that there's a sacrifice needed. Now, let me take one step back and talk about the safe space that needs to be created. When you honor other people, it does not mean you need to justify what they've done. If somebody's wronged you, you don't need to say, is that pastor's phone going off? Are you kidding me? Silent. That's right. We make mistakes here. Even the pastor has his phone on. So if your phone goes off, that's all right. You can be like, pastor did it. Anyway, sorry. Where were we? Getting good at giving. So as we were, probably people texting me, your Raiders are losing. Don't tell me the score. I just know they're probably losing. That's right. So, but if we're going to get good at giving, we have to create this space that's safe. So for example, Jamie, my wife and I, that we're, here together, and often she'll tell you, I'm wrong, and I'm wrong a lot. And so we still love each other, and we can disagree, but I know 100% that Jamie and I have made a commitment to stick through marriage no matter what. And so there's a safe space when I know I'm wrong or when I know I've messed up and forgot to tell her about a meeting and I'm staying late or doing something and I've created an inconvenience for her. It doesn't excuse it, and I need to work at getting better, but I also know she's not getting ready just to pack up her bags and leave. There's a safe space. So are you creating safe spaces for the people around you? Do they know that they're loved? But let me tell you how to build that. The only way you can build that is by getting generous, by giving. In order to create that safe space, you have to give. And guess what? It takes a lot of sacrifice. Giving, but we also know one of the blessings of giving is that you get joy. And you, as we looked at last week, there's a joy when you sacrifice. Look at Joseph. Joseph had to give up his own honor. He had to give up that idea that, people are gonna talk bad about me. People are gonna show this. They're gonna say this about me. Joseph had to give all of that up. He had to lay all of that aside and set this aside all so others could live. Joseph understood what the cost was, and he wasn't afraid to lay it up. This week, somebody was having a conversation with somebody, and they were reflecting on Thanksgiving a few weeks back, and like many of us, Thanksgiving can be a difficult time where family gets together and there's clashing. And so he was saying he was going into Thanksgiving. He said, I had a mindset that I wanted my family to be different. I wanted the political conversations and the arguments and just the direction they're going, and some are just moving just in the wrong direction in their life, not treating their families well. And so he had this mindset of wanting to go in and just have his family transformed. And he found himself just angry, and he said, I'd asked him permission to share this, and he just said, I just wanted to leave, and I was looking at the watch, and we hadn't even started dinner, and he said, I wanted just to get up and get out of there. But then he says, you know what I missed when I was there? I failed, and essentially in the words of the sermon, he says, I failed to honor them. I failed to go in there, each person, to see the value that they had. Instead of saying, hey, how's business going for you? How's your work? How's your school? Instead of asking how they were doing, instead of blessing them, he was looking out at the only ways he could receive from them. He's like, man, I blew it. Do you know each one of us, I do this when I meet people at the coffee shop or the grocery store, and just ask God, just shoot up a quick prayer and just saying, God, how can I bless this person? How can I show them honor? What are you doing in their lives that maybe you could use me? Because notice this, God doesn't just bring the blessing. Why doesn't God just bring in Jesus like the megastar coming down, you know, bright lights and just coming down, I don't know, like some fresh car, you know, just driving down, boom, explosion, confetti, and just like, here I am. Why doesn't God do it that way? Notice, he works humbly through Mary and Joseph. God will do amazing blessings through people. The blessings aren't necessarily always for you. We always pray, God, bless me, but God wants to bless others through you. And that's what I want us to see as we do that, as we create that safe space and let blessings flow out. And the only way that happens is the last point, is let God's perfect love cast out fear. When you feel you are in a space that you can be safe, that you're not trying to cling for honor, just as my buddy was sharing, he was going into Thanksgiving trying to get honor himself, instead of going to give honor. Do you know the only way that you and I can find that true safety? Because everything we search for, everything we long for, the honor in our lives, we all desire it. But if we're looking for it, it's always going to be fleeting and it's always going to fall short. Worship team, you can come on up. As we look at this, because here's what we don't want to miss. Turn with me back in the text. And verse 21 says this. She will give birth, speaking of Mary, she will give birth to a son, And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They shall call him Emmanuel, God, which means God with us. And we'll talk more at that next week. But this part says that he will save, in verse 21, he will save people from their sins. Matthew's one of these guys. Matthew was writing saying that Joseph, God was going to do a miracle through Mary and Joseph. It wasn't the king that they were all expecting. Now, the Jews were all expecting the Messiah to come because they were a group that was under Roman rule. And they all expected this coming Messiah that we read in verse 18 would deliver them as a triumphant king and deliver them and rescue the people physically. But what Matthew notes here is that their people will be saved from what? Their sins. There is a spiritual freedom that is about to come. A spiritual freedom, a spiritual reign of freedom that is about to reign in the city and is about to reign throughout the whole entire world. And it's about to set the captives free. Because what this text points us to, what Matthew is showing us, it's all about the major blessing, which is in Jesus Christ. So you and I, we don't have to grasp for honor. We can give it away because there's an ultimate safe place that we have. 1 John says that love, perfect love, casts out all fear. The only one that has ever had perfect love without intentions of receiving love back is God. God went knowingly to the cross that some would walk away from him. And Jesus still goes to the cross so that the world can be saved. Perfect love casts out all fear. So you and I can actually go and now honor other people. I mean, imagine that. The cold fireplace that's there. We can bring warmth in this holiday season by sharing the hope that we have in Jesus, the rescuing from our sins. So no matter how we don't continue to fail, but we have been rescued from our failures. The world saw Mary as a failure. The world saw Joseph as a failure. How could you? But Joseph took a step of faith. He put his honor to the side, just as Jesus did as he went to the cross. He put his honor and glory to the side so that what? Others could live. Would you sacrifice this holiday season? Would you give up your own honor? And not just in the holiday season, but throughout the year, so that others could live, so that others could know Jesus. Would you bring in this warmth? Would you show honor and value to people? Because people matter. That song we said earlier, the scriptures give the perfect example of this. Jesus says, what is God's love like? It's like a shepherd that's with 99 sheep and he goes back for the one lost. Because people matter and people are valuable to God. Would you show them that value this season? Would you honor them? Would you bless them? Would you go out of your way to bless them and honor them? Why? Because you want to show them that the fireplace is just empty without the warmth, the love, the goodness, the stockings, the blessings that all come from God. Show that to people this holiday season in physical, in tangible ways. Honor them. Value them. Bless them. And let them know there's a God who is crazy about them. Would you pray with me? Father, may we hear that now this morning. Maybe some of us aren't feeling loved now. Maybe we feel like that cold fireplace. Maybe some people we're hearing the voices that we're just half empty, or maybe we just feel completely empty. Father, during this season, maybe even some of us, it's holiday season just reminds us of all the loss and the tragedy that we've had. But Father, may we be reminded of the ultimate blessing that came through people that stepped out in faith. Lord, and ultimately it's a God, the message is about a God who loves us and values us so much that came and died on the cross so that we could live. Father, may we too die to ourselves so that others can live. May we be a blessing and bring honor to the city, to the world. Lord, let your light shine through us. May you light up our hearts and light up the world. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.